Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, look at that guy over there who's popping and locking on his desk.
Yeah, that guy's name would be Jay.
I know.
My future ex-husband. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh.
Hopefully you beat him for his gaming collection.
All I have to say is, espresso's a hell of a drug. Okay, anyway. They gave me the wrong coffee at Starbucks this morning.
Really? What did you get?
I don't know what it was. It was not the coffee I ordered, but it was rather tasty. I drank it anyway. I didn't complain.
Alright.
Of course, I had to drive too far to take it back, or I would have taken it back and threw it in the girl's face because I was just in that mood this morning.
Oh.
This is not what I ordered.
Oh, no. See, that's no good. That's no good. You're not supposed to be in those moods. Well, it is Monday, so, you know, I guess that's kind of normal for Monday, but...
Oh.
Happy. Oh, thanks.
Is that what you said? Ooh, I'm awake.
Yeah, I'll tell you about that one later.
Oh, really? Well, hello to our new followers over the weekend on the tweeters, the Twitter box. Y'all like to touch our Twitter box, don't you? Yeah, they like touch our Twitter box.
You would check Twitter this morning? I guess I should.
Yes, because you didn't see what I know you didn't check it because you didn't see what I said.
Now I gotta go see.
It's not bad. How's everybody out there this morning? Good morning to you, and you, and yes, you. Wow, lots of good things happening over the weekend while Ginger checks on Twitter. Woo! I gotta start top of the. I'm gonna do this before.
Hey, that's my master chief. You better keep your hands off, lady.
Whatever. Okay. So I gotta talk about this. Come on now. I gotta go first, Ginger. I gotta want to break the news. Has everybody seen the new Nintendo controller?
I did. I saw that on Facebook last night.
I think I may just touch myself. Oh, my God. Nintendo, who knew you had it in you? Although, I did like my Wiimote, I do have to tell you. I like the Wiimote,
but it's not, I don't know, it's not comfortable. It doesn't, like, support my hand.
I'll tell you what I didn't like about the Wiimote. The nunchuck should have been wireless. The whole thing should have just not. I didn't like that connection.
Yeah, exactly.
Because when I'm trying to game sometimes, well, luckily, I never turned on my Kinect, so none of you see this, but I'm making all kinds of faces. I'm trying to lean. Hands are over this way and down under the leg, you know, because I'm into it, but I can't do that with my Wiimote sometimes. You know, you go to pull your hands apart, and, you know, the thing was kind of constricting. So, but I like the new controller. I do think you went a little too Xbox-ish, but knowing you guys, we'll have like 5 or 6 different controllers. You all are going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This thing, it looks, I have to say, I am a little bit worried. The thing is huge.
Well,
and guys, yes, I'm sure bigger is better, all that fun stuff, but I have tiny hands.
I like big controllers. I said before, I say it again. I like my controllers.
I have big hands. I have teeny tiny little chipmunk-like hands or something, you know?
Well, they are, of course, you know, it's E3 that's going on this week, which we are kind of playing down because, you know, quite a few of us are kind of protesting E3. We'll mention some things, but we're not going to go with...
Yeah, I noticed that somebody was on Facebook on my actual Gamenatrix Facebook and was posting pictures of them heading to E3, and I was all like, I want to grumble and say I'm jealous.
Could be, because they are lacking oxygen. The oxygen quotient for them is going down as we speak. So I'm just saying, LA and the air. Okay, anyway... And yes, I'm going to forever talk about you, L.A., and your air. We need y'all to clean it up.
Was it that bad?
It was that bad. Okay. Once again, we were there, and the very second I stepped off the plane, my sinuses swelled shut. Okay. Then, as I got more and more into the city, I started wheezing, coughing, the phlegm, the whole nine. And then when I went to buy Claritin, it cost $3.25 for one Claritin, not a box, because here in Texas, that's the price for maybe a box of maybe five or six Claritin, for one Claritin. So for I could either suffer.
That is nuts.
I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I forgot to pack my Claritin. I'm asking people, do you have Claritin? I think a security guard at E3 ended up giving me something, you know, a Claritin or something to take. But it was ridiculous. You guys' air is out of control. And I keep saying our air is, you know, according to, you know, environmentalists, is the worst air. But I have to beg to differ. I couldn't breathe the whole time I was there. I think I started getting high because of lack of oxygen. Just...
Nice.
I need y'all to not clean it up. Anyway, so let me tell you about the controller because we're all off topic.
Because
it's delicious. Okay, so they, of course, revealed it during their pre-E3 video. They detail some of the online functionality of what's going to be called the Nintendo Network. It's a social service, and it's supposed to link us through text, video chat, and can be accessed by the Wii U, your DS, your PC, and quote-unquote future Nintendo devices. So that means we might be getting something else coming on in the year. You know how they roll. It'll be like November, and they'll be like, oh, by the way, bam, here's a new device. Love it. They were also showing off the tablet controller. Mr. Satoru Iwata himself confirmed the newly designed hardware complete with twin sticks and a registered, a redesigned back, which now supports a reader for cards or figures. So it's gonna, you're going to be able to read your books on here too, people. The tablet, of course, can be used as can be used independently from the console. Although Nintendo's goal with the Wii U is to unite users with multiple screens rather than see them using hardware for different functions. So users can meet via the Miiverse to socialize, which is a new app that can be opened at any time while you're playing without interrupting your game.
That is cool.
Mm-hmm. Allowing you to connect, which Microsoft, we know, cannot do. If you're trying to get people in your party, they either have to have already been invited or they jump in because you didn't secure it, and then you this interrupts your game. You got to stop and find so-and-so. Yeah. Iwata also demonstrated a few other functions of the tablet, including using it as a TV remote and support for handwritten messages. He also, they're supposed to be talking about some more key features later on during the week at E3 and what publishing partners they're working with, you know, who's on board early. I am so excited. So, so excited. Ginger, did we lose you? Ginger, are you muted?
It's up against the arm of my chair and it pushes the button to mute it. I'm all talking. Because, yeah, I saw the picture last night. Nathan something or other over on my Facebook posted the picture of it. And I was like, oh, that's so sexy. That's hot. But, no, I didn't see any of this other information. So this is all new.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of cool.
Nice.
very much. All right. So we got a couple of different things. I'm still here. Okay, so GamePolitics.com, I was trying to figure out how I want to read this. There is a new event that's going on called GamerCon, and another podcast actually interviewed the guy anyway, so I'm going to try to kind of skim over what they found out. Matt Kahn, the founder and key organizer of GamerCon, GamerCon, the first-of-its-kind, fan-focused gaming event that caters to the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered LGBT community. The very first event won't happen until early August of 2013 in San Francisco, California. Matt was kind enough to explain in great detail why he's decided such a conference was needed. Of course, it's going to need to get funded, so it's still in the works.
Mm-hmm.
He feels strongly about creating a special space for the LGBT community outside the confines of conferences like PAX.
I don't know about that.
I don't know either, but all right. So apparently the idea was it's a combination of a few things, he says. He says, you know, growing up I was a huge gamer, and I'd always dreamed of going to E3, and I'm sure it was kind of a dream to a lot of kids growing up. You get EGM or Nintendo Power, and you see all the photos and videos that goes on at E3. It's kind of like the Disney World. Yes, it is.
Mm.
And then when I was 19, I actually got to go there and experience it, and it was really amazing, and it was humbling and awesome, but at the same time, I felt like something was missing. part of that was that it wasn't really made for me. It was made for a very specific group of people, a very specific demographic of gamers, which are pretty much that of 14 to 30-year-old white, straight male Americans.
Yeah, I'll jump on him in a minute. Go ahead, Ginger.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, which there's nothing wrong with, but there's definitely a large amount of other gamers out there that exist, whether that be women, minorities, or gays. And I really wanted to create a space that is safe, that is a safe, fun, community-oriented space that people of alternative sexualities, or even maybe people that kind of feel like they've been overlooked, can come together and play and chat and really have a safe alternative space. And that is why the tagline of GamerCon is Everyone Games. All right. So is the event going to be all-inclusive? He says, yeah, I think the name is going to be a little bit of a fire starter in that naming it like that is definitely catches people's eyes and attention, but it's not just for gays. You don't have to be a gay person to come. I'd like to liken it to a gay and lesbian film festival in that plenty of straight people go to those, and they go to appreciate the different cultures around them. In the same way, this is going to be a gaming convention that is going to begin to focus on the LGBT themes in gaming, which admittedly are very, very few, and there's going to be very little to talk about. And that's kind of part of the idea, is that showing the gaming world that this demographic does exist, and that we do appreciate the strides towards equality so far, but there's been very few of those, and we like just kind of want to just show the world we exist. I'm sorry, this is written badly, so bear with me. And that's the
that sigh wasn't for you. That sigh is because you know how hard it is for me to hold my tongue right now.
Yes. Right. So do you think that some of the current fan geared events are comfortable for someone transgendered? He says, well, I don't think that if you are transgendered or even necessarily gay or lesbian, that going to one of these other fan-orientated cons like PAX are necessarily the most comfortable or the most supportive places.
What? Oh my God. Okay.
You know,
let me just say.
So this is really long, and it's over on Game Politics, so you want to read it. I'm going to let Corey jump in, and then I will add in my two things.
I, first of all, think this is one of the most unnecessary bunches of BS I have ever seen before in my life. The one thing, I know that the community, especially some of our younger ones, are notorious for making comments about gay this and gay that, but I have never been to a PAX or an E3 where you were singled out for being gay or Asian or black or white or Latino. Now, true, there's not enough representation there, but the way to combat that is to actually be there. You be there, you bring more of your particular group with you and say, we're representing this particular community. Not, I'm going to create my own shoot, because you just pretty much cause a whole separatist thing with the community. Now, on one hand, I am not saying the gay, lesbian, transgendered, bi community should not have their own communities where they feel comfortable playing with their own people. I know as women, we have our own clans. I know there's all African-American clans that play together, very few, but still, I know of a few. There's all Latino people that like to play together. That's not my issue. My thing is when you start looking at a convention and then start excluding people, you're doing the same thing that we've bitched at. You're bitching at the other people about doing. You're saying, well, this seems like it's geared towards white straight males. That's because nobody else is going there at this point. And it was, and I have to say this for the millionth time to gamers, E3 was never for you as a gamer. It never was. It's a trade show. People are the press is supposed to be there to see what's out new, and then then come back and tell you what you're supposed to buy. This is just annoying. Put it this way. Let me apply it to you in the terms of fashion. This is the way I think of it. When you see these fashion shows in Milan and wherever else, these are obviously not the clothes they're going to sell in Macy's. They're showing you this is what the trend is this year, and then you go out and buy it once Macy's makes the toned-down version, because women cannot walk around with feathered plume on their heads in the office, okay? But they can maybe wear a if you're us, you can. But, you know, you could wear a feather earring. Same principle here. Obviously, the game companies go here, and they're supposed to be showing it to the media. The fact that this person got in there when there was 19, I mean, they probably lied. It was E3 was never about allowing gamers in. PAX is. PAX is a gamer-centric convention. It basically says, you know, for gamers, by gamers, whatever the hell their tagline is. But they let gamers in specifically, even as media, we don't have as much clout as PAX as we do at E3. Yeah. At PAX, we get about 30 to 45 minutes at best in earlier than the rest of you, whereas E3, it's like the door is open. If you're not even pressed, you're not even supposed to be in here.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of gamers were grasping the concept. And they said, well, we looked out. Well, yeah, I imagine.
You should.
You should, because you you aren't supposed to be there. Now, as a woman journalist, when I go there, I'm irritated that all I see is booth babes and you're objectifying women because they, you know, because there's mostly men there, or they think there's mostly men there from companies. But it was never about that. And this is why E3 is starting to, you know, Yeah, even Joe saying on Twitter, he says E3 might be fizzling out due to all the companies doing their thing before E3. It's not just companies. It's gamers like, well, I want to create my own event. I feel very uncomfortable because I like to wear sneakers, and nobody else wears sneakers with me, and I want to wear sneakers when I game, so I'm going to make my own convention. What? Just go to PAX. Just really. If anything, I'd like to see PAX create more PAX events throughout the year, all over the country. Kind of do like what Video Games Live does. You know, every couple of weekends, maybe PAX is in Boston, and then maybe it's in Texas, maybe it's in Florida, then it's in Louisiana, then it's in Idaho. You know, so that everybody gets a chance to go and that type of thing. But otherwise, there's no need to have your own separate convention. You're also making a big ass target. What's going to happen when you have all these people here in one place? There's going to be all the Woodsboro Church is going to show up first, and the other crazy people. Then it's irrelevant. And I've never been at a PAX and been able to point out somebody who was lesbian, gay, transgender, or bi just by looking at them. I'm not paying you any attention. You know why? Because I'm looking at the games. I could give a damn if you're there. I really don't. Come, we're all gamers. We're all in the same room. I don't care what you're doing. And if you have on a dress, I'm probably going to assume you're wearing a costume, not that you're transgendered.
Exactly.
So you don't stand out until you start making yourself stand out.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
And that's amazing. I mean, I've not been to a PAX yet. I'm hoping, sincerely, close in the future.
We're going.
All right.
Oh, it's an interesting year. But anyway.
It has been an interesting year. I know. But it never even crossed my mind thinking that anybody would feel like they were left out or somehow from anybody else. The gaming community at large, from what I've met, all right, I'm not going to say there are not haters out there and there are not those ignorant people that say stupid stuff that they shouldn't. I mean, because you're going to find stupid people anywhere. But for the most part, the gaming community tends to be the most accepting, open-minded community I have ever met. People in the gaming community don't care. Black, white, pink, purple, girl, guy, are you lesbian? Are you gay? It doesn't matter. They don't care.
Not when we're at an event. Of course, people are going to say things online because they feel safe to say so. But in person, I've never had anybody just out and out be cruel to me in person.
I mean, I've played with, all right, it's the internet. You know, I take it with a grain of salt. A chick, and I met somebody else who met her too. She tells everybody she's a nun. Whether or not she is, a total different story. She acts like it, though. I played with a nun. I played with I've played with people of all different sexualities, of nationalities, of races, of ages, young people, old people, girl, guy, it doesn't matter. And as long as you're a gamer and you treat me good, I'm going to treat you good. I don't care what you believe. Are you rightist, leftist, blue, green? I don't care.
I think this is completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
Really.
I mean, did he have a bad experience? That's what I want to know. I mean, because if so, then tell us who did it so that we can smack them over the head and tell them to stop being stupid.
Anyway, we're going to move along. We may end up talking about this again Thursday, maybe not. But this is ridiculous. I'm sorry, guys. I can't get behind you on that one. I'm all for you being treated equally and things like what, you know, what happened with, was it Eve? Or was it Blizzard? Comments. Yeah, that right there was wrong.
It was Blizzard, I think, who made the anti-gay comment.
Yeah, that this right here is only going to make you guys a target, and I'd hate to see something happen. It's not necessary, really.
I've been looking for a good excuse to go up against those idiots from Westboro, so.
Yeah, I'm going to go out there with some hot grits, show them how we do it in the South. Okay, so anyway.
Nice!
Hey, it's not a weapon. It's just grits.
I'm just going to go feed you breakfast.
Because I just want to feed you. Never mind that it didn't land in your mouth.
On that side of the street, I'm going to sit here with my catapult on this other side.
But you mean you didn't want me to throw it at you? Oh, it was too hot. Oh, I did warn you when it was flying through the air. It's hot.
We were throwing it to cool it down.
See, it's all in how you word it.
We're trying to help.
Okay, so... apparently, Facebook, whether they realize it or not, is about to make themselves an enemy in the form of Disney. Yeah.
Oh, hello.
well, Facebook has been saying they want to start letting kids ages 13 and under use Facebook.
No.
Yes, this is according to a Wall Street Journal report. The company is currently working on new mechanisms to accomplish this goal, which would include, or could include, linking a child's Facebook account to their parent's account. This would give the parent the ability to see all of their child's activity, as well as allow them to control what applications they use and how they'll be allowed to use it. The social network giant's current policy bars users under the age of 13 from signing up, which is mostly to protect the site against laws related to online child protection laws and restrictions. However, there are plenty of reasons why the company would want to change this policy. Adding children under 13 would provide a nice boost of user growth for the site, which translates to higher advertising revenue. It'll also help solidify Facebook as a casual gaming platform, since children of that age are likely to be drawn to this aspect of the site. There are also plenty of hurdles Facebook have to jump through before regulators, parents, and lawmakers would be okay with a Facebook for kids, with most of them related to privacy issues.
Facebook?
Yes.
I know what I post on my Facebook. So.
Yeah, what you put this morning wrong. Recent reports have highlighted just how difficult it is to enforce age restrictions on the Internet, especially when parents want their children to access online content and services. Facebook told the Wall Street Journal that we are in continuous dialogue with stakeholders, regulators, and other policymakers about how best to help parents keep their kids safe in an evolving online environment. Various reports, according to VentureBeat, have also been done showing that young children are already using Facebook despite the company's policy. For instance, Minor Monitor recently did a study showing that 38% of all children on Facebook are already under the age of 13. And I know this for a fact, too. We've been griping about it. Of course, when you look at it from the perspective of it's already happening, the smart move for Facebook would be to figure out how to legitimize it. Come on, Albert. And then
you
turn a profit.
You can do it.
Otherwise, Facebook is just leaving money on the table. Now, you say, how does this affect Disney? Well, Disney already has a service that is very similar to Facebook. It is limited to their site, and it's for the little people. They get to comment on Disney shows, make videos using their favorite Disney characters, you know, what's Justin Bieber's girlfriend's name?
Selena Gomez.
Yeah, Miss Gomez has, you know, you can take video clips from her show and her videos, and you can make your own video. You can post it. So it's very Facebook-esque, but there's only kids there. At least we hope there are. And I don't think Disney's going to allow this because this will pull away from them. And their network is pretty big, ironically, and it's the guest network. The kids can go on as guests, which you can't do on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have to put their name in and if they don't, they're obviously not allowed to talk to anybody, but they can still post and play around with everything that's there, games and everything else. But I don't think Disney is going to like this at all.
No, I don't think so either.
And a lot of times how they interact with the kids that watch the shows, like they had a contest I know Baby Natrix wanted to enter, and she actually saw it on their network, and then they would push the information to her little name. And so, you know, this is how you enter the contest. So they had to dance, you know, and then they could record themselves and they could upload it themselves. And it's relatively safe. They require, well, she has a geek mom, so she doesn't get away with anything anyway. Anything she signs up for comes straight to my email, and I'd be like, why? Oh, that reminds me. Now I can actually tell this story on the air. And I think I told you this, but I'm not sure. I got a call here a couple of weeks ago from Full Sail University. And it's from their game development, you know, section, game design, and that's like, we were wanting to speak to Baby Natrix, you know, her real name, emotion, I'm not telling you. Baby, we want to speak to Baby Natrix, and I was like, who is this? Yeah, this is Matt from Full Sail University. I was like, why are you asking for Baby Natrix? Well, she signed up for our game design program. We wanted to sign up, talk to her about it, and, you know, she was ready to get signed up today. How about you, Mom? Would you be so proud of your daughter if she went to Full Sail? Yeah, I would be, except for she's 9. I'm very proud that she picked this course of in life, but she's 9, and he's like, really? Yeah, and she did this? I was like, yeah, and then, of course, this particular day, my email was late, so right as he's saying that, then it popped into my box that she signed up for Full Sail. So I call her, and she's like, oh, it was this software that they said I could have if I signed up, so I signed up. I got the software. I'm in there playing with it. Want to come see? And I was like, yeah.
She is so smart.
Yeah, we have raised the restrictions on the Internet around here.
I don't blame you, because she is incredibly smart.
She is starting to scare me. She's surpassing me at knowledge.
Oh, no.
She showed me a keyboard shortcut I didn't know the other day. I said, oh, no, this is not going to fly. It's not happening. Give me that laptop. I need to do a couple of things for that. going on? What we got?
Anyways. All right, so it's Monday. Some of y'all are a little bit stressed out. You need something to help out with that. So we've got Stress Breaker. The perfect stress relief game is available on the App Store. Yeah, all right, so Berkshire Falcate. Pleased to announce the release and worldwide availability of Stress Breaker, their funny stress relief game for iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad. The app allows users to get rid of tension by beating up the offender with a wide range of sophisticated weapons.
Okay, why do I want to play this?
I know, right? Stress Breaker is a perfect tool for de-stressing any day that stands out with its user-friendly interface combined with carefully selected features. A gamer can take an amazingly true-to-life default picture of a boss, or, oh God, I see some firings happening, or choose any photo from their photo library and let off some steam. The application has a wide range to start from squishmallows to ultimate guns. The user is not limited to just one weapon. To guarantee the ultimate stress relief, players are allowed to use the entire arsenal to punish the offender. Users will also get lots of satisfaction hearing funny smashing and cracking sounds of breaking, clashing, and shooting. Muhammad Kathadra, CEO of Berkshire Falcate, says Stress Breaker helps handle the anger in a fun way. While developing the game, we kept in mind the feeling of frustration, irritation, or desperation that from time to time overwhelms every person. Those fired by their boss, dumped by a boyfriend or girlfriend, or unfairly humiliated by some bad guys now can fearlessly get even in an entertaining and amusing way using Stress Breaker. The game is also lots of fun for those who are just seeking pure entertainment. The app has rich sharing possibilities. Once a user blasts the tension away with Stress Breaker, the app offers to share the results of their stress management therapy via Facebook, Twitter, or email. See, this is what's going to get you fired. You're going to play this, and you're going to be throwing tomatoes at your boss and not thinking. You're going to hit OK, and it's going to post to your Facebook. Your coworkers are going to be mad at you. They're going to let the boss know. Or you've been stupid and you friended the boss. Not good. You're going to get fired over this.
Ginger's warning you.
A ginger warned you. And when two or three weeks down the road, when you get in the press and I read this,
we're going to point and laugh when we do.
Be like, I told you so.
That's how we roll.
Are we going to break out with that old country song? I told you so. Yes.
Oh, I love that song.
Yes. Yes. It's going to be good. It's going to be great. And I'm going to laugh. I'm a little bit hyped up on sugar because I had a cookie.
Yeah, you had cookie and I had espresso. This is not a good combo.
Well, I have half a cookie and I have the other half still.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Well, got some people that are in trouble. Will Wright, the hotness that is, I love you, Will Wright. I love you. Oh, God, I love that man. Well, HiveMind, the startup created by Sims creator Will Wright, is the subject of a legal battle launched by its former CEO. That's right. GamesBeat is reporting that co-founder and ex-CEO Jawad Ansari filed legal action against HiveMind's directors Wright and Raj Wright's think tank, Stupid Fun Club. He claimed Wright and Perrick tried to push him out of the company and denied him his 30% equity.
30% equity?
Yes. Originally tasked with raising $5 million for the startup in 120 days, Ansari alleges that EA's John Riziello offered investment, but the deal was turned down by Wright over the concerns of other HiveMind employees. Wright also canceled meetings with Warner executives before replacing Ansari as CEO. Wright and Perk then closed the company and claimed that they then tried to sell HiveMind IP through Stupid Fun Club. Wright's attorney, David Lissy, disputed the claims, and Wright and Perk launched a countersuit. It suggested Ansari had volatile and erratic work habits and did not have the secure commitments for funding. Wow. The legal battle has left HiveMind in limbo, said Wright. HiveMind is still a company, but it has no money, no nothing. It's just sitting there because of litigation. It's frozen. It's so complex, and there's quite a bit of disappointment, he explained. Man, he's looking hot in his old age. I like that haircut you're rocking there. Okay, anyway, he said it's a shame this didn't work out. We have to find out where this is going in the near term. The legal papers also reveal that HiveMind was in talks with Zynga over an acquisition or investment deal, but fell through after Perk and Wright left the company. The social gaming giant has allegedly valued HiveMind at, get this, $75 million. Wright originally announced the startup last November. Yeah, I remember when we talked about that. Oh, well.
Kind of sexy. Do that again.
No, Will, I still want to sit in your lap, too. Anyway, that's horrible. I'm sorry to say that. Is it hot in here to anybody else? Loves me a geek boy. God, it's the glasses.
Yeah.
It's the glasses. Oh, dude, the glasses do it for me. Okay.
All right, so bear with me. There's some names here and some words I'm going to trip over. I'm just warning you ahead of time. Game
Already?
Molotovs. That's what it was.
Molotov cocktails.
I know, right? All right, so GamePolitics.com. This morning, a fake Mario endorsement for an Acapulco mayoral candidate.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, see, I told you. All right, so if you're going to fake an endorsement, then you probably can't do any better than good old Mario, Nintendo's number one mascot. The billboard picture to your left, which you can't see, you need to go over to GamePolitics.com to see. Mario posing with Acapulco, Mexico mayoral candidate Pepe Guerrero.
I thought you were going to say Pepe the Pew. I was going to die.
Anyway, the billboard carries the tagline Pepe Guerrero es tu bro. Which roughly translate, according to Google Translate at least, to Pepe Guerrero is your bro. Now, I'm not sure if Pepe Guerrero really is your bro, but it's highly unlikely that Nintendo approved the use of Mario in this political ad, or that you could consider this an endorsement of Pepe Guerrero by Nintendo or by your favorite plumber. Still, I do think it's a little fun ad that catches the eye. I just hope Pepe Guerrero will remain the bro of Acapulco residents in the event that he wins the election. And that is cute. Oh, my God. Seriously, that's awesome.
Ooh.
I want to know who thought that up. And I want to know whether or not Nintendo is going to come in and be all like, no.
They may not. It's good. It's good. It's kind of a good advertisement for them. So they might like it. They might say it's okay. In case you guys want, because I'm being asked privately, updates at E3. The only things that have been going on that are making a buzz right now are the Lara Croft Tomb Raider trailer, but they've not said anything about it. You won't hear anything about it unless somebody's there. You know what? You're probably not going to hear anything about this until it's over, honestly. I'll give you all the lowdown on E3. You're not getting a signal out of E3. I don't care how badass your phone is, 4G. You got 8G. You went to the future. You got 12G. It's not happening. It's not coming out. So don't look for anything other than seeing the trailer just yet. And that's all I have been able to see. I'm over at the Square Enix site. They're also talking about some Kingdom Hearts 3. Dream Drop?
What's Dream Drop?
Let me see if they got some more information. I'm popping around. We're trying to keep it fresh. They're saying this one is going to be, of course, for the 3DS system.
Then I don't care because I don't have one.
Well, you never know. They have announced the people that are doing the voiceover. It's going to be Leonard Nimoy. Remember him? Spock?
Yes.
Haley Joel Osment is also going to do voiceover. David Gallagher, Hayden Panettiere, Jesse McCartney, and Quentin Flynn. They got an all-star cast. This is supposed to be in preparation, about the game. It's going to be in preparation for an impending threat. Sora, Riku enter the sleeping worlds to complete the Mark of Mastery exam. They will encounter new enemies and make new friends in the worlds they have never set foot in. And if successful in their quest, they will become true Keyblade Masters with brand new gameplay features, worlds and creatures. Kingdom Hearts 3D continues the tradition of engaging entertainment. Actually, it's available now, but they are showing off some trailers, I guess, over at E3, or you can get over to play it. You can pre-order it. Well, you can pre-order it now for $59.99, which is called the Mark of Mastery Collector's Edition. And then there's a $39.99 Standard Edition. And why do I have hiccups every morning on the show now? I'm holding them back like, I'm trying to talk. No. Kingdom Hearts, of course, is an RPG, and it's rated 10. Rated E10 plus for everyone 10 and older. And, of course, they want you to go over to the ESRB if you're not sure what that means. I've never been a Kingdom Hearts girl. I missed out on that fad.
I never played, so me either.
I never got to play. You can't play everything. I wish you could. I'd never sleep if I played everything. Other thing that's making a big splash is Far Cry 3, but ironically, we saw that at E3 last year. Can y'all come up with some new stuff? Something new.
Yes, I know, because, I mean, we saw the Wii U last year, and so far, most of this we've been hearing about for a year straight and not actually seen anything.
I don't even know.
I don't know.
You done. How about that? Get it done. I'm not seeing anything else that you all are going to be super excited about. Of course, they keep talking about Assassin's Creed 3, but we already know what's going on there. You won't hear much of anything after, you know, until after E3 is over. You know, this is only 4 days. They always make it seem like it's a week long. It's about 3 to 4 days. It's going to be today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. And there is a Thursday, but nobody cares what anybody has to say after Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony go on stage, honestly. I'm not trying to be mean. It's true.
No. That's not what I'm oohing about.
What?
We've got a free-to-play game coming that people have been looking forward to, and I don't think they realized it was going to be free-to-play.
Ooh, what?
Valve reveals that Dota 2 will be a free-to-play game.
Mm.
I know several of my guy friends are going to go, like, totally lose themselves in this. Valve announced that Dota 2 will be free-to-play. I'm sorry. That's why I'm tripping. Free-to-play and revealed details on the Dota store today. The game will feature an in-game store that will offer mostly cosmetic items, just like the offerings provided to Team Fortress 2 players. All those stupid hats. Valve says it has no plans to sell hero characters in the Dota store because restricting player access to heroes could be destructive to game design, so it's something we plan to avoid. Very, very smart move.
Mm-hmm.
Valve also revealed that Dota 2 will be part of the Steam Workshop, the company's service that lets fans share content they've created for games. The system allows fans to vote on content, with the most well-received bits being released by Valve as official parts of the game. Sales of the content are then shared with content creators. Valve claims that it paid out over $3.5 million to Team Fortress 2 fans whose creations became a permanent part of the game. In the first year, it became a free-to-play title and utilized Steam Workshop. All right, so if you want to check out more about that, you can go to the official blog, which is blog.dota2.com, and check that out. That is cool because I know a lot of my friends were all excited to get into the beta and were looking forward to the release, or still are looking forward. So that it's being free is going to be even more awesome.
All right, I got some juice that just popped into my box. It is barely 3 minutes old. It's dripping with steamy deliciousness.
Oh, yeah.
Paradox Interactive actually just announced this on the floor at the E3. That's right.
What they got?
Well, Twitch TV, who is the world's largest video game broadcasting network and who have been after us for some years. Did you know that? They've been after us for a while. Today they have announced at E3 that Paradox Interactive will be the first publisher to enable players to broadcast live gameplay directly from their games to the Twitch TV community. The showdown effect is their inaugural title featuring in the form of a direct link from the game's dashboard to Twitch TV's broadcasting platform. Given the proliferation of marquee brands streaming content on Twitch TV, the trend toward making the process more accessible for their fans was a logical next step. It says, we've seen explosive growth in the live broadcasting industry, which is happening organically with gamers and strategically with publishers, both of which recognize that gaming has evolved into a spectator phenomenon. I would not go that far, but hey. Enabling players to stream their games to Twitch TV with a quick click, such as what Paradox Interactive is doing with Showdown Effect, opens the door even wider to potential streamers in the gaming community. Paradox is a leading global publisher of PC-based strategy games, whose portfolio includes firmly established PC franchises such as the critically acclaimed Europa Universalis Crusader Kings, the Hearts of Iron series, Magicka, which you know we adore, Majesty, the Fantasy Kingdom Sim, which I love. I love this game, Majesty, the Fantasy Kingdom Sim, and the upcoming War of the Roses 2012. How did I forget? What's our game, Ginger?
I don't know. What's our game?
From
Canada? Salem.
Yes.
Salem. Sorry, I was looking at a trash can that I just posted up on Twitter.
You're not right. Okay.
So
on Tuesday, which is tomorrow at approximately 12 p.m. noon, they don't say which time zone. If you are out there in – oh, I'm sorry. This is for E3. If you are out at E3, so it's 12 then in that time zone, Paradox will be showing a premiere of the latest content from the Showdown Effect at Twitch TV stage, and their booth is 347. You can also check out our website. We have a little bit of the footage, and when I say it is fresh, and like I said, still dripping sweat – Go ahead and pop over to our site and check it out. It is so delicious and so lovely.
Still dripping sweat.
Still dripping all kinds of sweat. Just make you twitch kind of sweat. I'm sorry, I'm so bad today. I don't know what's wrong with me. What's wrong with me, Ginger?
I'm going to get fired.
I would never. You know what? How about I just crash trying to post it up for y'all? Lovely.
Oh, no.
That sucks.
I was going to say, do you want me to make a list? Because.
Oh, my God. Just see, y'all see how Ginger treats me.
I love you.
She don't love
me. I love you.
She does not love me. She just wants to. She just wants to torture me.
Totally.
Why? What I ever do to you?
Because you're so awesome.
I didn't do it. It's zero. Okay, go ahead.
I'll send you cookies.
What, cookies?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's all good. Do it.
All right, so Ubisoft seeks court declaration that Bazewinger infringement claims are frivolous and without...
Oh, again?
Again. All right, Bazewinger settled his lawsuit against Game Trailers and dropped his lawsuit against Ubisoft without prejudice. The lawsuit alleged that Ubisoft knowingly used plot points and story mechanics from his novel Link in their Assassin's Creed video games.
Mm-hmm.
While Bazewinger ended his legal fight, he left the door open to sue Ubisoft at a later date, and his lawyer said that he still asserted the claim that Ubisoft had infringed on his work. This apparently did not sit well with Ubisoft. The company decided that it would file its own suit, asking a court to find that Bazewinger's legal maneuvering was frivolous and without merit. Yeah. Okay, so according to Gamasutra, the plaintiff in the case alleging copyright infringement by Ubisoft has dropped his claim without settlement. Ubisoft believes the suit was frivolous and without merit and is seeking a ruling to prevent future related claims. We are proud of our creative teams and will continue to vigorously defend the intellectual property they develop. A declaration is necessary to enable Ubisoft to continue to develop and market creative content under the Assassin's Creed brand free from the cloud that Bazewinger's meritless claims have placed over Ubisoft's right to do so. Beyond the court decision in its favor, Ubisoft is seeking legal fees and whatever relief the court deems fair. Bazewinger tells Gamasutra that he has not received the complaint from the company. No doubt he will soon.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
What is the... I'm sorry.
Go around poking bears.
Why, Ginger?
Seriously, I mean, Ubisoft's pretty laid back. Usually, you know, all that fun stuff. Then you gotta go poking it. Don't do it.
You have this poking fascination today. Should we be worried about you?
Poke me a little lower.
Oh, Jesus. What are we gonna do with you?
Love me forever because I'm awesome.
We do love you, but what are we going to do with you is the question.
Turn me over to you.
Ginger.
Yes?
We cannot do that.
Oh, you just can't do it on daytime radio.
You are a very bad girl.
Yeah, maybe.
Bad, bad girl.
No, I'm not. You'll know I'm sweet. I'm a sweetie.
Uh-oh, see? Somebody is agreeing with me. Look at that. A tweet says, yes, Ginger is a very bad, dirty girl.
Nobody.
I just wanted to get I had to go look. She's like, I don't know who you think. Did y'all hear the get up script in the voice? I don't know who you think you are. Who is it? Who said it? Who?
Just off her ring. I worked very hard to come off as a sweet little girl, innocent girl. Yeah.
Look, she's taking off her earring. I better run.
No, I can't even do that. I'm not exactly dressed this morning, so.
We ever turn anything? That's a lucky thing about it. Oh, thank God y'all can't see us anyway.
Dama's on.
Okay, let me get back to the news because I'm getting all off topic. And some people, like, you know, at their desk starting to touch themselves. Stop that. Hands above the desk, you.
Or send me photos.
See?
Snow White at Game and Atrix. I love you, Snow, if you're listening.
I am telling. And nothing you can do is going to deter me from telling on you unless you got cookies.
I have cookies.
Well, you better send them this way because otherwise I will be telling. I am trying to rein in my energy right now if y'all want to know the truth. Okay, so apparently there's a new Xbox Smart Glass app, which I got to test out this week, the HBO app on Xbox. because I always want to watch my Sex and the City. You know, HBO has kind of sort of separated itself from Comcast or from the cable companies. They have an app, but you still have to have a cable subscription. You can't just watch it. But I do believe in the future that they're probably going to do that. But anyway, got to test it out. What at that? Very steady streaming, very instantaneous. I don't know. I'm impressed, HBO and Xbox. However, I'm still mad because I want to be able to find the Indie Games channel. That's where all the good stuff is. All right, moving along. Back to what I was saying. They have another new app up on Xbox called the Smart Glass app. It's supposed to allow AirPlay-style connection with your 360. According to a confidential presentation seen by Engadget and The Examiner, why would they choose The Examiner of all people? Microsoft will be launching an Xbox 360 app called Smart Glass, which will allow you to play content from your tablet and smartphones on your Xbox.
Really?
Versa, yes. The described functionality sounds similar to Apple's AirPlay service. While The Examiner calls Smart Glass a standalone tablet, Engadget insists that it's a companion app for Windows 8, Windows Phone, Android, and iOS. Microsoft is reportedly showing Smart Glass, like, as we speak. And that's all the info that we got on it.
Is that all the info?
Oh, but I do have another little story I want to toss in here that just made its way onto the Internet. It's a rumor.
What you got? What you got?
Well, this may be the last time you people be choking down the L.A. air, people. Because E3, they're saying, may be leaving L.A.
Really? Where to? Does it say?
Well, we're going to... All right. Organizer the ESA is unhappy and plans to remodel the convention center and so far has not renewed its contract with the building that they're holding it in as of this year. Reports are suggesting that it may move to San Francisco, which I wouldn't mind. I hear San Francisco is beautiful. New York, I wouldn't mind either. Chicago, don't care about that one way or the other, but New Orleans could be nice.
Yes. Oh, that'd be very nice.
I got family in New Orleans. I will be calling, saying I will be staying at your house for the weekend. I'm bringing 20 people with me. Hello. The ESA President Michael Gallagher did tell the LA Times that they are still in discussions with the city of Los Angeles, but they have a number of issues that need to be resolved. And if we cannot resolve them, we're preparing to go elsewhere. The remodeling is to make way for Farmers Field, a new sports stadium, which is planned for the on-current site of the West Hall Convention Center. This has led to worries on the ESA's part over floor space and access. As they said, we still need assurances on things like square footage, the quality of the space, the ease of loading and unloading equipment, signage throughout the convention center for marketing and sponsorships. It says, we love being in Los Angeles, but we also have a show to put on. There have been 18 E3 expos to date, with 16 taking place in Los Angeles, and the show is estimated $40 million to the hotels, contractors, and businesses of the city. So you best believe they'll be fighting for that money. But I really hope that if they can't come to Houston, I'll take a New Orleans. That's a nice little drive. I get in the car, road trip.
That'd be awesome. And I've never been there. I want to go. So that's awesome. I have no real thing to go to Las Vegas, Los Angeles, any of those.
New Orleans. So to be, baby.
New Orleans? Yeah. No kidding, right?
To be.
And when we go, can we do one of those haunted tours?
Girl.
What?
The haunted tours will not happen if there's a bunch of people there. Like, and I'm assuming that if this is going to be like I think it is, it'll be a lot like Mardi Gras. There will be no – you will not want to do haunted tours. You will just be amazed. I will tell you a thing that always amazes me during Mardi Gras and what's called the classic at Thanksgiving is the unisex strip clubs, and that's all I'm going to tell you all about.
Ooh, I think I want to go.
I knew that was attention. Other people started sitting up too going, huh? Did you say unisex strip club? That's right.
Yes, that would be nice. That'd be very nice. We'd have fun. We should go.
Yes, because then we could take Blaster with us.
Yes, that'd be awesome.
Be like, Blaster, you sit on that side of the table, and we got this side. Make it rain, y'all. Okay, anyway.
Very nice, very nice.
Oh, here we go with more E3 stuff.
More E3.
It's coming in. It's pouring into the mobile. You're not. Let me forward some of these to Ginger. Ginger, you take some of this stuff.
I will totally take some of this stuff.
Well, right. Go ahead. I'll jump in with the next one.
Okay. Really? Yeah, all right.
Go ahead.
Anyways, June is Entertainment Ratings and Labeling Awareness Month. Another one from GamePolitics.com this morning. Oh, I'm running out of time, and I wanted to mention something else. All right, so anyways, the Digital Media Association, the DEMA, Entertainment Merchants Association, EMA, National Association of Recording Merchandisers, NARM, and National Association of Theater Owners declare June to be Entertainment Ratings and Labeling Awareness Month.
Nice.
June has been proclaimed, huh?
I said nice.
Yes. I know. June has been proclaimed Entertainment Ratings and Labeling Awareness Month by the group since 2004. The participating organizations are encouraging movie theaters and retailers of movies, music, and video games to highlight the importance of rating systems to their customers. The idea of the campaign is to let consumers know about how the rating systems work to keep inappropriate material from being sold to the wrong age groups. It also encourages retailers to review their ratings and labeling education and enforcement policies and to reemphasize those policies to their employees. All right, so that is kind of cool. So, ratings month, yay!
Yay! Yay!
Okay. All right, you had something else? Because that's where I do have to do with gaming, but has to do with zombies, so.
We just need to go ahead and create a zombie section on the site. There we go.
Yes! Yes, we do.
Well, in that vein, actually, I'm going to do a couple of announcements. I'm talking to Gentry today about we're maybe possibly in our last stages of dating, but I want to tell you about one of the big new changes we have coming tomorrow night with Pixinista, where you will be able to see what we see. Yes, and tomorrow we're featuring weddings. So make sure you keep an eye on our Twitter. And on our page, you go to GamerGirlsRadio.com, and we'll be providing you with a link just before the show so that you can pop in and see what we see and interact. If you don't like clothes, don't be coming in there angry. It's my, why are they talking about it? We're talking about probably mostly we're going to be featuring digital weddings in Second Life because those are big bucks, big bucks, beautiful wedding gowns. And, again, you'll be able to see exactly what we see and interact with us in two different chat rooms in case one doesn't load for you. Hear that, Horace? He was happy to the chat room. So if you can't get in one, you'll be able to get in the other and tell us what you think about what you see. You know what? I forgot what I was saying. While I was saying it, how about that? Lovely.
Very nice. Very nice.
Anyway, we have some updates hopefully by tomorrow. Since everybody's not looking, it's a good time to change your clothes.
Really?
I'm speaking metaphorically. Nobody's looking, so we can change our clothes really quick. So if you pop by the site and it's like, this is not what was here. Yeah, that's just us changing our clothes.
Nice. Very nice. Very nice indeed.
So make sure you're there tomorrow night for sure. We may have somebody pop on from E3 sourcing. I'm not sure, because I don't think anybody that we actually are in cahoots with actually wanted to go either.
I think we know one, at least. Maybe two. No. We know two people who are there.
Well, grab them as a picture.
All right, so here we go. Homeless woman snatches. All right, this has nothing to do with gaming. Has all to do with zombies. Just saying.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Pulling this from theblaze.com. Homeless woman snatches baby from stroller, tries to eat its arm. Kid you not. Police arrested a 36-year-old homeless woman for allegedly snatching a baby boy from his stroller and slamming him into a pole, then tried to break his arm off so she could eat it. This came out Wednesday. Adriana Miranda was walking with her sister in downtown Los Angeles. See people at E3, be careful, the zombies are there.
Mm-hmm.
During the July 21st incident, pushing her four-month-old son down the street when Natasha Hubbard allegedly reached into the stroller, unbelted the baby, grabbed him by the leg, swinging him overhead before slamming him into a rail. The Los Angeles Times apparently reported this. The boy's mother and aunt tried to fight Hubbard off, and when Miranda was finally able to grab the baby back, Hubbard scratched at her and tried to keep fighting. The baby received only minor injuries and was treated for bruises and scratches. According to the Times, Hubbard ran away, but witnesses helped identify her, leading to her arrest. She was charged with aggravated assault, and her bail was set at $30,000. She is currently on probation for both a narcotics case and a battery case. Hubbard confirmed she tried to break the baby's arm off in order to eat it. So see, people, this is like, what, third, fourth zombie thing we've had go on in the past couple of weeks? Are you getting ready? because I know I am. I'm already making my pack. Mm-hmm. I'm getting ready to go. Screw you guys.
That is the second zombie incident we've had in less than 2 weeks. We have told y'all the zombie apocalypse is coming. I got my canned goods ready. I'm going to be eating beans for a few months, but it's better than nothing.
Yes, it's fine. It's fine.
I got my gas can full in the garage. Y'all think we're joking. I got a gas can full of gas. I got my peppers because I may have to slice and dice. I got a machete, a rake, a hoe, whatever it is I need.
Yes, exactly. This is nuts. And then you got the college student that was in the news the other day who killed his roommate and ate his roommate.
Zombies. Y'all.
Yes, all over the place. What is wrong with you people recently?
No,
well, I think recently, but.
Zombies is what they are.
Not right. Not right.
Zombie, zombie, zombie. Okay. I love that UCA said, good morning, gamers. What would you like to see at E3? I said, I'd like to see it in Houston is what I like.
I know, right?
Okay, so you guys move on this way. Okay, we're going to cut out just a tad bit early because these hiccups are trying to really get me.
Oh, no.
I'm having some issues trying to keep the hiccups away. But make sure you keep an eye here tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Wow. I'm sorry. Somebody.
Right, tomorrow we have picks and eats, folks. Do at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time.
But are we back? Are we at 9? Are we at 9 now?
Are we? Because I thought maybe.
We could be. We could be. It'd probably work out better that way. We might move it to 9. Either way, make sure you are watching our Twitter, our Facebook, our Google+. We'll be giving out the special link you can only get from us that allows you to come in and see exactly what we see. When we're talking about how bad it looks now, you won't be like, God, they just ramble and we don't know what the hell you're talking about. Now you'll be able to see. Fantastic. Not us, though. Don't get all excited. Keep your hands above the desk. And we will see you guys tomorrow. There's something wrong with me. Maybe I'm hoping I'm not turning into a zombie. Damn it.
No. See, that's how it's going to start. It's going to be an epic case of hiccups, and then you turn into a zombie.
Ew, no.
Yeah.
The Force with you, young Skywalker. You are not a Jedi.
Jen.
Later, boys and girls.